Good afternoon to everybody. Pastor's away in Perth today, so he will be back only this coming Monday. And so you have me to share the word with you. And it's a joy to be here and to be able to do this. Actually, something that is quite nice to see is some of our own guys doing the AVA, which is very good, because actually, yeah, it is needed. Right? The AVA needs people. So it's really good to see. And also, as a wonderful response to what you are learning. And it is through this means that you really learn how to love Bethany, to love the church. So I hope that you will consider responding in serving as well along the way. Okay? Well, we're going to have our prelude as we begin worship today. Welcome back to the house of the Lord. So wonderful to see everyone here. And today we're going to continue with the series that we have been studying about the life of, in this case here, Jacob. Now, we've been learning a bit about the death of Jacob last week. And today we will again read about him dying and what were some of his words, the words that he said towards the end of his life. Okay, but I hope you look at it and say, well, dying is really not what I'm thinking about at this moment. I'm thinking about a lot more things to do with life than dying. But I hope that you can see that it is not just about death alone, but that when you look at death, that is when you begin to realize what is important in life. And so these are life lessons that we're going to be taking away with us. The focus for today's message is on this one word called return. And worship is a time to return to God. And we all struggle from time to time, and we all stray away from the Lord. And one of the things that we can do at youth worship is to come back to the Lord. So return, and that is what I would encourage you to consider as we read our text later on. Okay, I'm going to pray and hand the time over to the praise team. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your word, for the examples in your word, from whose lives we can learn many lessons. And we pray very much today that you would bless our hearts as we read your word again. Encourage us, we pray. Help us to know that we can always turn back to you, no matter how we struggle in our lives. And we ask you to bless this youth worship as we commence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Youth Worship. I'm Olivia, and today is my joy and privilege to be able to lead in praise today. One of the things that we do in Youth Worship is to sing praises to God. Why do we praise God? In Psalms 92, verse 1, it reads, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." We give praise to God because it is good, and because it honors Him. There are many reasons why we should give praise to God, and each of them points to who God is. Today, I want to praise God because He has lovingly redeemed me from my sins. I recall in secondary school, I was living a double life. I would attend YPG, Sunday school, and worship on the weekends. And I was even starting to learn what it means to serve in cleaning and singing in the youth choir. But during the week, I would be an angry person at home and a lazy student in school. And I didn't like the person that I was. And I didn't want to continue living like that anymore. So in my desperation, I turned to God and asked Him to change me. And today, I recognize that God has called me out of darkness into light. And He has given me a chance to change from the person that I was before by working in my life. And in the first song that I would like to share today, the songwriter invites us to come and praise the Lord because God calls us to salvation. I'd like to invite you to turn to page 6 of the bulletin. And verse 2 tells us that God's love welcomes all sinners. And in verse 1, it tells us that we can have a new life because of salvation. May our response be to take up His call and follow Him. An example that has greatly encouraged my heart is seeing some of you stepping up to serve in cleaning, setting up, and serving lunch as Bethany resumes her regular programming. And as we progress into the new year, may we be challenged to walk closely with God and to grow in our faith this year. Let's take this song together. Thank you for the wonderful singing, and thank you to the AV team and for Liz for playing. As we enter a new year, many of us will face new experiences. Some of these can be exciting ones, like entering a new school or a new class and making new friends. And for others, maybe it's something a little less exciting, like preparing for your national exams at the end of the year. And for those of you who just received your A-level results yesterday, it will be a new and fresh season of deciding what you like to do in university. Entering new seasons of life can be exciting, but sometimes we are brought out of our comfort zones, and adapting to them can also be a little bit daunting. Across the many lessons that we've learned from youth worship about the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Joseph, one thing that is significant is God's hand in their lives. God's hand of protection and provision was very real in His blessings to them, in spite of the difficult situations that they faced. Likewise, we can take comfort that we have a faithful God whose presence will be with us through these times. I'm currently in my last semester of university, and as I ready myself to graduate and to start a new season in life, I reflect upon God's faithfulness to me through my years of schooling. Whenever I was discouraged or felt stressed from school, God provided encouragement in the form of pastors, teachers, and friends in church. And when I was learning to make big decisions on what I should do in life, God's leading was evident through the opportunities that He provided to me and the advice from people in Bethany. The next song that I would like to share is titled, What a Faithful God. The songwriter's response to God's faithfulness is to come before Him in worship and to sing of His faithfulness. This year, may we also learn to appreciate God's faithfulness in our lives and to be encouraged to greater involve Him in our lives. As we take the next song together, let us sing of God's faithfulness.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis chapter 48, verses 1 to 22. This passage speaks of Jacob's words to Joseph before his death, as he recalled of the Lord's blessing to him and his family. Jacob also blessed Joseph's sons that they would be fruitful and grow significantly into a multitude of nations. Genesis chapter 48, verses 1 to 22. Now it came to pass, after these things, that Joseph was told, "Indeed, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, "Look, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession." And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem.
Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into the multitude in the midst of the earth."
Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the hand of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow."
can warm up the stage for himself later on. Well, that's a hard text to read. And of course, we're looking forward to what Pastor Ben will have to teach us from this text. This part of the pastoral prayer, as we come to it, what will we pray for today? And the prayer that I'd like to make for everyone is a prayer for spiritual maturity. Well, not physical maturity, that's the difference. Physical, don't have to, because many of you are taller than I am already. That's not much of a concern. But spiritual maturity, that is what we are seeking and looking for. Well, first of all, congratulations to those who have just received their A-level results. Congratulations, because with the receiving of the results, it's officially marked your 2 years at junior college, and you have successfully cleared that hurdle. You don't have to take your A-levels again, and you can actually look forward to the next level. The question is, what is that next level? For a period of time, it seemed that A-levels was the most important thing ever. But now, looking back, it's not. There are more important things to come. And that's why it's so important to read Genesis, especially as we read towards the chapters of Jacob's impending death. Why? Because through these lessons, they teach us what truly is important in life. What truly is important throughout life. And we have read and learned of some: God, faith in God, our hearts towards people. And these are the things that we must continue to learn. And we need spiritual maturity to help us understand these things. And so the prayer is that you will have that spiritual maturity so that you can employ this maturity to organize your life, to shape your life, and to plan your life ahead. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you very much for the deep lessons that we are learning in the book of Genesis. And Father, we pray that even as we read about life and death, and although it may seem abstract, there are very important lessons for us to learn at this present time for our present circumstance. And Father, we just pray very much that you will grant us spiritual maturity to see and understand these things for ourselves, so that our lives can be so much more just encouraged and also enriched. And Father, we pray that we will become people of great character, of people of great depth, even as we seek such maturity in our lives. And these maturities can come from your word. And Father, once again, we pray very much for Pastor Ben, even as he preaches to us a message from your word. And we pray that this word will go forth strongly into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. Sorry, too excited. Okay, now, today we resume with our study of Genesis, and we are going to look at Genesis 48. Now, that was quite a bit that the ladies had to read. It's basically the whole chapter. But today, what I would like to do is to highlight certain things for you along the way, which I hope can be beneficial to you. Okay? Well, let's have a look at Genesis 48, all right? And we begin. Now, we read here, what was happening here in Genesis 48:1? Okay, we read, it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. Okay? Now, what was happening is, this is a scene of Jacob, who was sick, and in fact, he was dying, and he knew it. Okay, now, this situation was told to Joseph, right? And then Joseph went to see him, okay? And so, this is what we are seeing over here. Now, we've got to try to picture it and try to understand. Joseph did not stay in the same compound as Jacob and his family, because Joseph had his own administrative role in Egypt, and there would have been official residences that he would be staying in. So the word would have to go out from Jacob and his family and somehow go all the way to him, wherever it was that he was staying at. I mean, there's no WhatsApp, there's no phone call, you cannot do that. So the word would have been brought over to Joseph. Now, Joseph, knowing the situation, right, what did he do? He must have been a busy man. He lived in a different set of quarters, right? But once he heard this, he took his two sons and he went straight to visit with his father. And what we're seeing over here in Genesis 48 is this scene of a father and a son. And remember, this is Jacob's favorite son. Okay, father and son coming together to speak. Now, when a person is sick and dying, they don't just say whatever they want to say. They don't waste words. They don't talk about the weather. You know, it was raining a lot. They don't talk about that. Everything that is said is going to be specially thought through. And it's not everyone that you want to see either. It would have to be that special son. So let's take a look in verse 2. Look how Jacob responded. So Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Now that in and of itself is special. I don't know if you have ever been in touch or seen a person who is sick and dying. It takes tremendous effort towards the end of life to be able to sit up on the bed. I remember once that we went to visit with somebody who was sick and he had cancer. Now we saw him, and then 2 weeks later he was standing, and then 2 weeks later he had to sit. He could no longer stand. 2 weeks later he was on the bed, right? He could still talk. 2 weeks later, not conscious anymore. Now that's how it is. So for Jacob to say, you know, my favorite son is coming, dying, I'm sick, but he would muster up whatever strength he had just to sit up so that he can meet with Joseph. Now that tells you something about the relationship between Jacob and Joseph. And that's what we've been seeing all this time. That sense of love and that bond between father and son was something that was very real. So this is the setting of Genesis 48. Now we go on to ask then, if this man is sick and this is his favorite son and they're talking, what would they be talking about? Okay, and I want to highlight for you, what is it that Jacob could share with Joseph and Joseph would be able to appreciate? And the answer then is none other than God. You see, at this time, Jacob had struggled for many years when he thought that Joseph had died. But then he came to Egypt, and that spiritual part of him that had been diminished and reduced for many years had come alive again. And so what we see here is that spiritual part of Jacob. And that is something that has been rediscovered, regained. You could even say that he had come alive to God all over again. Watch, what would he choose to say to Joseph? He would choose to speak about God. Take a look at this. I'm just going to highlight certain things for you in this chapter. Look at verse 3, right? Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at last in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he recounted, he took time to remember. Now, this was a very special moment in Jacob's life. In the popular hymns that we sing today, they talk about this moment. This moment in time when Jacob was running away from Esau, when he had nothing, right? And the Lord was there to help him. And he took time to remember this. One of the lowest points of his life, and the Lord was there. And this was where it all began for him. That spiritual part began right here, when the Lord became real to him. So he took time to remember these special moments. One, okay? Look at the second part of it. Look at verse 11. Right? And Israel, okay, verse 10, the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them, talking about the two grandchildren. He kissed them and embraced them. Verse 11, and Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. Now, this part of it is very personal. Right. Now, what he thought about his life, and he said, this is what God had done for me.
And there came about a very special sense of appreciation, thinking that your son is dead, and years later, receiving him back alive is quite something to experience. For us in church ministry, sometimes we see situations where children pass away. And I can tell you, it's one of the most heartbreaking things to experience and to see as a parent. To have Joseph literally restored to you alive again, knowing that God had kept him all these years. Now, he was just deeply moved when he experienced this. So there came a very personal sense of appreciation for God, for what God had done for him. And he said, "I had not thought to see your face, but God has shown me your offspring." He even managed to see his grandchildren. So there was God recalling the past. God, deep appreciation for what the Lord did for him personally. And then again, now in verse 15, "And he blessed Joseph and said, 'God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day.'" Now, this is a special and deep reverence for the name of God. He invoked the name of God, right? And this is the God of his fathers. This is the God. He invoked the name of God in the blessing of his grandsons. Now, there comes a very special reverence for God. And lastly, in verse 21, right? "And then he said to Joseph, 'Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers.'" You see, at this time, for Jacob, he had gone through a lot. There was a time when his faith was really adversely, badly affected because of what happened with Joseph. But now what we are seeing is that spiritual part of Jacob coming alive all over again. How do you know that spiritually you are alive to God? One is you can see God, right? And here's Jacob reflecting upon his life, and he sees God at different junctures, at the beginning and at this point. And here is God, and here is God. And God became someone who was very real to him, right? And he was able to respond to God, whether that's a sense of appreciation for God, whether that's faith in God, whether that is hope in God. But spiritually, it was there once again. And this is something that is to be appreciated. Why? Because for a long time, Jacob did not have this spiritual part of him very much alive at all. And that's what we are trying to understand. There is a spiritual part to all of us. And that's what we're seeing in this chapter. Jacob and that spiritual part of him coming up. There's a spiritual part in all of us. But the challenge and the question then is, has that spiritual part been affected? Has it been diminished? Has it been reduced? And for Jacob, for many, many years, it was. Okay, let's have a look at some of the things that Jacob really did struggle with. Okay, let's have a look. And of course, one of the things that he really struggled with was the death of his son Joseph. Okay, let's take a bit of time to review what that was like for Jacob. Okay, so Genesis 37. All right, Genesis 37. Okay, and we read, okay, in verse 35. "And when it was told to him," verse 34, "when it was told to Jacob that Joseph had died, Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, mourned for his son." Verse 35, "He arose, his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. He refused to be comforted. 'I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." Right? And that was a very, very hard time. You see, situations in life, circumstances in life, they can affect that spiritual part of us. They can affect our faith badly. And for Jacob, this is what had happened. And this sorrow remained with him for a very long time. Okay, and finally, when Jacob, finally in verse 45, when it was told, only when it was told to him, verse 45, right, that Joseph is alive. Okay, chapter 45, verse 27, right? It was told to him. verse 26. Joseph is alive, they told him, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. And then he saw the carts, right, sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." You see, this is what we are seeing over here. There is that spiritual part in Jacob. And we see that towards the end of his life, after he had been restored, right? And there is a spiritual part in all of us. But if we were to really thoroughly examine Jacob's life and spiritual life, you begin to realize that actually he wasn't all that consistent or strong in his faith. There were things that happened to him that hit him badly and affected him really badly. But the challenge of it all is not to remain where you are. The challenge of it all is always to return to God. And this is what Jacob did. Look at chapter 46 now. Right? So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Watch this. And offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. How did he return? Worship. And this is why we have youth worship. Firstly, there is a spiritual part in us. And youth worship is here because that part of you is being cultivated. And as you learn the lessons you are learning, and as you apply them, you don't realize this as much. But as those of us who observe you can see, that spiritual part of you is growing and is developing. And that's wonderful. But watch, life will have all kinds of challenges that will come against you. And for Jacob, that was very, very challenging for him to handle, the death of his son. You know, he took a long time to return to God. It was many, many years before he finally said, "I'm coming back to God." And he returned to God in worship. Okay, and that is what we see. And we read over here, verse 3, okay? Verse 2, "Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob,' and he said, 'Here I am. I am God, the God of your father.'" And there we see the Lord speaking to him once more after a long, long time. Now, this is the challenge of what we are seeing here today. It is wonderful to see a person be spiritually alive again. The reality is that it is not an easy thing to maintain a consistent spiritual life. The challenge is not to say, "My spiritual life is perfect. Nothing affects my spiritual life." This is not true and is not realistic. The challenge is to say, each time I see myself away from God, I know how to come back to God. I know how to return to God. And you can return to God in worship. That is the challenge of Jacob's life. And Jacob was not a perfect person by any means. But if there's one thing that he did, it was that he returned to God. Okay? So this is what we're seeing over here before we can come to Genesis 48. Okay? So there's a spiritual part of it. It was affected. He returned to God. Wonderful. Now we come to Genesis 48. What then is the result of his returning to God? What can come out of it? Watch. Jacob sought to bless Joseph and his sons. Right? And that is the result. The result is a restored spiritual life. Now, we don't see this written about as much, but we see it in the way that Jacob was able to see and perceive things, and the way he was able to speak of God. That spiritual life began to be restored, right? And that's what we see in Genesis 48, right? And he really sought to make an impact. He really sought to bless Joseph and his sons, okay? What did he do in this chapter? One, okay, he elevated Manasseh and Ephraim, basically, from grandson to son. Now, it doesn't sound like a big deal. It's a very big deal, okay? Why? Because when God gave him this blessing, okay, there was the land that would be inherited. What this means then is that Ephraim and Manasseh would have a share in the land, just like the brothers. Now, this was something very special that he was going to do for Joseph and for his grandsons. Okay, number one. Number two, he gave them a special prayer of blessing. Okay, 48:15. And he blessed Joseph, right? And so we say he blessed Joseph, right? But this prayer was actually a prayer of blessing on Ephraim and Manasseh. So he blessed Joseph, he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, right? And invoked the name of God, the name of all the patriarchs were there, Abraham, Isaac, and his own name, verse 16. And that was a very, very special prayer that he made for them. Number two. Okay, and not only that, he was able to give a special kind of spiritual insight. A little bit challenging to understand this, but Jacob was somehow able to see things that other people couldn't. And that's how you know a person has been spiritually restored. Because once again, he could see, he had special spiritual insight which he gained along the way. And that is what we are seeing over here. Okay, and he knew that Ephraim would then be greater than his brother, and so he did his hand swap. This was an insight that even Joseph couldn't perceive and couldn't understand at that point of time. But it was something that he had to teach and to show Joseph. And that is something that is important, right? And lastly, look, he gave Joseph one portion above his brothers. And that is in verse 22. I have given to you one portion above your brothers, right? He decided. See, this one portion above thing is usually reserved for what we call the firstborn, which was meant to be Reuben. But Reuben was not deserving of this. Now, Jacob could see that, perceive the situation, understand it. Who is deserving among the brothers of this firstborn blessing? Now, that would be Joseph. Joseph stood out. It was Joseph who basically saved the lives of the family. And so he determined, he exercised his right, and he gave this extra portion, not to Reuben, but to Joseph. So Jacob did all that he could. Now, Jacob is not a perfect person. Even in this time and this situation, we cannot elevate him to say he's a very highly spiritual person. He's not, right? Jacob was a really very, very human in more ways than one. Right? You look at his life, look at the way he struggled. Even at this point, it wasn't as if, wow, spiritually he was so great and so. He was not. But whatever he could do, he wanted to do all he could to bless his favorite son and the two sons after that. Whatever insight he had, he wanted to give it over to them. Whatever he could do. And he even told Joseph, look, God is going to bring you back to the land. God will be with you. I'm dying, but God's there. That faith be continued, that hope continued. And that is the result of it all. You see, when you return to God, when you are restored to God, what can God do with your life? God can use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Have you ever thought about that? Now, you may not be, wow, the most spiritually wonderful person, but if you know what it means, number one, you have a spiritual part in you. Number two, you know that there are times you struggle, but you always know to return. Sorry. You always know what it means to return to God. And number three, as you return to God, watch. What can God do with your life? God can still use you to be a blessing. Whatever it is that you can do, extra portion of land, give to Joseph. Now, this is not a question of favoritism alone. Okay, you must understand, there was a relationship between Jacob and Joseph, and by now it's a very clearly established thing. Last time was jealous, and then Joseph ended up becoming a slave. Now no more. Now it's very, very clearly established. But whatever he could do to be a blessing to Joseph and the two grandsons, he would do it. That's what it means to be restored. Can you see the whole point over here? So as we look at Jacob's life, how do we appreciate it? One, he was absolutely a very, very, very human in many ways. And he struggled a lot. But what is true is that spiritual part of him was there. It began a long time ago, right? It began a long time ago when the Lord met him. But along the way, up and down, up and down, up and down, struggle here and there, all the way through. principle, return. Right? And so that's what he did, return to the Lord. And at the end of it all, what is the result of that return? A restored life. The result is that I want to seek to be a blessing to whoever I can. Even if it's only a few members of the family, I want to be a blessing to them. And that is what we see. Now, young people, what is this all about? This is a very challenging text to understand, and I have to share with you that I, too, struggled a lot with this text in the preparation of it. But I want to say to you just a few simple things. The first part of it, there is a spiritual part of you. Now, that is why you come for youth worship. Please cultivate this spiritual part of you. Learn to relate to God. Can you see God in your life? Look what Jacob was able to do. He recalled from a long time ago. That's why some, you know, on morning worship, you hear some of the chairmen, they come here, they tell you the specific date and time. Youth conference, even the place where they came to know the Lord and the Lord became real to them and that spiritual part of them began. That's what you see. Do you have such a commencement point for your own life? Spiritually, is there a part of you that has begun? And our hope, not only at youth worship, at youth conference, at youth everything, or young people's group, everything, is that you will find that starting point. Let it begin somewhere. And once it has begun, it's a very precious thing. And you don't forget. You don't forget when you first came to know the Lord. For me, it was youth conference too. 14 years old. Can't remember the specific date, but it was in December because youth conference is in December. But it wasn't here. It was at what we call Changi Conference Center because at the time this was being built and renovated. And it was a very special moment for me. Will I ever forget that? No, absolutely not. Now, that spiritual part in me began. And then you come along in the journey of life and you realize that there are things that are not easy. What is it that will cause our lives, spiritual lives, to be affected? Many things. One is situation, circumstances. That's one. But a lot of the times, it's not just that. It's us. We ourselves neglect our spiritual lives. We ourselves don't give attention. Notice this. Jacob could have come back to the Lord a long time ago. But he didn't. He waited and he, you know, when his son died, he thought his son died, a part of him also died. And that's why you read, his spirit revived. He allowed it to remain dead for all these years. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have that spiritual part of you, but along the way, there are challenges, or it could be just yourself, you didn't attend to it, and that spiritual part of you began to, don't allow it to go down. Return. And this is a wonderful principle. Our God is a very gracious God. Look at Jacob's life, right? He returned to the Lord, and then the Lord, what did he do? He spoke to him all over again. Is the Lord speaking to your heart? When was the last time the Lord spoke to your heart? What did he say? Spiritually, are you alive? And if not, the best thing to do is return. Don't wait. There is no best time to return. I wait for youth conference, then I return. Not going to happen. Family came coming, then I wait. It's not going to happen. You return now. Can you see the point of it all? And when you return, no matter what it is, you may be a spirit, you know, Jacob is not a spiritual giant in that sense. He's a patriarch. But if you compare him to figures like the Apostle Paul, that kind of faith, the drive, you can't compare. He wasn't that kind of person. But God could still use him to be a blessing. Can God use you to be a blessing? Can God use you? Can God give you special insight along the way that you can share with people and through that means become a blessing? Is it possible? Well, Jacob's life tells us the answer is yes. So the key thing is to come back to God and let God do a work in your life so that you then can be a blessing to others. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this afternoon. We just thank you that you are a really gracious God. And we confess to you how often we stray and how we don't attend to that spiritual part of us. And so it is neglected, it is diminished, and we find ourselves truly spiritually poor. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to determine to return. Not at a later time, now. And we pray that as we seek to return, that you would continue this work in our lives, that we too can become a blessing to others. And we pray that you would help us and encourage us with this word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let's collect our offering.
Well, thank you so much. And once again, the encouragement is always to return. And, you know, I hope we really take a bit of time also to appreciate youth worship. February is sort of youth worship anniversary because that's when it began. But appreciate the fact that this is a place for us where we can really relate, learn to relate to the Lord. And no matter what it is, the challenges we face, we can always come back here. Here is where we meet with the Lord. And that is a wonderful thing to be able to consider. Okay, well, thank you and have a great weekend.